Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for this place, and we thank you for the ability that we have to come and gather here in the name of Jesus to worship you, to pray, to sing, to hear from your word, to receive communion in a little bit. God, thank you for the rain that you sent last night. It was a lot, and we're grateful for it. We needed that. And Lord, now as we take a moment and open your word together and hear this long passage and this really amazing story, God, please help us to understand. And as we hear what you are teaching us through it, please give us the grace to hear it and also receive it in belief and faith. And so we ask, God, that now would you work in each of us by or with power by your Holy Spirit. And through that, Lord, would you renew our minds that each of us might be more and more transformed into the image of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So last week I started by sharing how I've been asking people one thing they would ask Jesus to do in their life if they could. Just like one thing they want Jesus to do in their life or lives around them. And the major theme that comes up in those answers that people give me is they would ask Jesus to make peace, to bring peace. And that's something we all understand. We all want peace. It's good. We want rest. We want wholeness. We want rightness. We want health in our lives, in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our nation. And even Jesus himself said this is good, and he wants us to pursue peace and be peacemakers, as we've talked about. This morning, we're going to bump into a difficult question regarding peace. That's going to be, how much can we compromise in order to pursue peace? How much should we compromise to pursue peace, make peace? Or maybe I could ask this a different way. I'd say, is there maybe anything we should pursue more than making peace, even though we really want that, even though we want that peace? Our passage is going to lead us to see this morning that the answer to that question is yes. And I believe it's a clear yes. As much as Jesus wants us to make peace and pursue peace, and that still stays the same and is true, he also wants us to pursue truth. He wants us to be truth tellers. But within that, there's a very specific truth that we're talking about, that Jesus wants us to be people who know the truth of him and speak the truth about him and walk in the truth of him as well. So we're digging into this morning, that Jesus wants us to be people who speak the truth of Jesus. And as we'll see, sometimes that even comes at the cost of peace. So our passage, this long passage that we read, we're covering a lot of ground this morning. I think it's something like 35 to 40 verses. That's a lot of the Bible. Our passage comes from the book of Acts. We've been in this study of the book of Acts for a while now. Acts is a book in the New Testament in your Bible, and it's all about the history of the early church. Acts is the story of the early Christian church, how it came to be, how it grew, and it also gives us major key figures or key leaders in that story. One of them is the Apostle Paul. And we've seen Paul at work now for much of the book of Acts, and in history of time, we've seen about 3 decades, 30 years of the Apostle Paul's life. Last week, we saw Paul, we read of him returning to the city of Jerusalem after his third missionary trip. And we remember, when he was coming to Jerusalem, he was walking into a situation that looked pretty challenging. There was some stirring conflict. There was a potential firestorm with Paul coming back to Jerusalem because of some misunderstanding in the church regarding Paul. And remember, we talked about how Paul, when he came back to Jerusalem, he did one thing into the situation, and he sought peace. He made peace. Even when he was misunderstood, even when it cost him his own rights, he sought peace within the church. Now we're picking up with, in midstream of that story, what happened after this? As Paul pursued this peace, what happened next? And so that's going to bring us into our first point. It's going to sound very similar to something we talked about last week, because this is one big story. We're talking about one big biblical story that takes up about 3 chapters. That's a lot of biblical real estate. So here's the big point. Okay, first point is this. We all want peace and truth. We all want peace and truth. So last week, to get our minds jogged with that a little bit, I shared an image from a movie that most of us might know called The Lord of the Rings, and how when that movie came out 20 years ago or so, there was this one scene in the first movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, that kind of captivated our imagination as people 25 years ago, and that was the scene of the Shire, this place of idyllic, serene beauty, colors, joy, this place of peace, and how we are drawn to that because we all want peace, this kind of wholeness in our life, a health in our lives, a rest, a rightness. This morning I want to share a scene, really just about a movie. I want to share the whole movie with you that you also might have heard of or seen, and that's called The Truman Show. You ever seen The Truman Show? The Truman Show, you remember, is about this guy, Truman, who from the time he was a baby was given to a television company who built an entire world for Truman, this like huge, big enough world that he was able to live his whole life in there. And they did this so that everybody could watch his life from the outside, and his life became a television show. And Truman had a pretty great life. But everybody in his world was fake. It was all fabricated. Nothing about it was actually true. And even though it was really great for Truman and he had a lot of peace, as we talk about, once Truman found out that his whole world was a lie, he wanted out. Because he didn't just want peace, he wanted the truth. And I think we all get that. When we watch the movie, we root for Truman. Like we're like, yes, get out, Truman, go find the real life. Because we all want peace, yes, but we also want truth. None of us wants to live in a lie. None of us like it when people hate our guts but treat us like they actually like us, right? No one wants to be the person who everyone lets win the game because they feel sorry for them. And then we find out, like, wait, I thought I was winning. You're letting me win the game? I know that's kind of a trite example, but you know what I mean. None of us want to be the person who gets the job because someone who can pull the strings gets us the job, and everybody knows that at the workplace and resents us because we got the job but tolerates us because that's just how it is, and we have to believe that we earned it or something. Nobody wants that. We want truth. We want integrity, honesty, reality, openness in our life. We want peace, yes, but we also want truth. These two words, peace and truth, are working together and at the center of this passage this morning as we move forward into the story of Paul and the situation he had in Jerusalem. So I'm going to read the first few verses again that Lindsay read for us in chapter 21, verses 27 through 28, because I want you to, we're going to pick up there. So it says this: when the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple, and they stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place." That's the temple. "And besides, he's brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." Now, what's going on? So there are some Jews in Jerusalem who are from Ephesus. Or it says Asia, but they're probably from Ephesus, the place where Paul had been. And so they recognize Paul, and they see him in the temple. And before they talk to him, before they ask him what's going on, they go and they grab him, and they really start to beat him up. In fact, if we read further in this part of the passage, we'd see that it gets so rough for Paul that this Roman military leader comes and kind of saves him out of the situation because people are so mad at him. Now, why are they so mad at Paul? Why do they do this? Because these Jews who are from Asia, from Ephesus, totally misunderstand Paul. They think that Paul has been going around the world teaching Jewish people that Paul basically thinks their way of life is garbage, is trash, needs to be rejected, needs to be abandoned. That the ways that God handed the Israelite people, we call that the law in the Old Testament, the way of life that God had for his Israelite people to live by, that Paul is saying, in a sense, reject that, turn away from that. That's not how we're supposed to live anymore. This is what they think he's saying. And so in their minds, in their eyes, they are seeing Paul as like a traitor to their people and like as a blasphemer, that he's dishonoring God, that he's a bad guy, and so they need to get rid of him. We saw something similar to this last week, but the difference here is that these are strictly Jews. These are not Christians. These are just Jewish men or women, probably men, from Ephesus. Now, two things. First of all, they are entirely wrong about Paul, right? They are misunderstanding him and they're misconstruing what he's been saying because Paul has not been teaching this. What Paul has been going around and teaching and preaching is the gospel of Jesus. He's been teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel that forgiveness of our sins and life with God now and forever is dependent on one thing, and that one thing is faith in Jesus. Now, why that's a big deal is because before Jesus, it would have been dependent on being part of Israel and following the Jewish law. But now, Paul is saying, what matters now is faith in Jesus. This is how we have life with God. This is how we have relationship with God. Being Jewish doesn't matter anymore. It's not bad, but it's not what matters. What matters is faith in Jesus. So they're wrong about Paul. They're also wrong about, with that, Jesus, because they don't believe Jesus. They reject that this gospel is true. And so they have this situation. And so they grab Paul. He's being attacked. And as he's being rescued by this Roman military leader, he says, hey, can I speak to the crowd? Can I try to disarm this? Can I try to have this figured out? And the Roman military guy says, yeah, that's great. And so we see that coming up next. So Paul has this situation now where his life is in danger. The church in Jerusalem, because of their association with him, could be in danger. But he's given this opportunity to speak. He now gets to speak to this crowd that's super mad at him. And remember what we all want. We all want peace, right? We want this conflict to go away. We want everybody to be okay and nice and friendly and no more danger and no more threat. And Paul gets this opportunity to speak. So he could, if he wanted to, he could say something to make the peace here, right? He could be like, hey, everybody, you have this all wrong. You have me all wrong. I'm not saying any of this. You're great. Forget about this Jesus guy. It doesn't matter. I don't even really care about him. I'm all for what you're about. So let's just be one happy group again. He could do that, right? He could try to make peace, but in order to make peace in the situation, he'd have to suppress the truth of Jesus. So if you're Paul, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do when making peace means you need to suppress the truth of Jesus? So that gets us to our second point. The second point that I want us to see this morning is this. Disciples, followers of Jesus, speak the truth of Jesus even if it costs peace. Disciples of Jesus speak the truth of Jesus even if it costs peace. Now, some people hear all this and even my little story with the kids, and they're like, telling the truth is easy. I don't care what people think about that. Like, some people are just a natural, like, I speak the truth, what's on my mind all the time, and that's you know, whatever. But for most of us, that's a pretty hard thing. Sometimes it's not easy to tell or speak the truth. There was a commercial, I don't really remember a lot of commercials, but I remember this one. It was, I think, a Geico commercial. You might have seen this, remember this too. I think it had Abraham Lincoln in it. So Honest Abe, right? Honest Abe can't tell a lie. And it had his wife in the commercial with him, and she's sitting down, and she looks at him and says, Abe, does this dress make me look fat? And you can see he gets so, you know, agitated and uncomfortable, and he's like putting his hand up, and he goes, maybe a little? And man, it's just hilarious, right? It's a commercial I'll never forget. But telling the truth is really hard sometimes. Last week we talked about how making peace is hard. It requires, you know, we're trained in our culture to want to stand up for our rights and fight for that. Well, telling the truth sometimes is hard too. Sometimes we just want to withdraw or be quiet or make something up that'll smooth things over. So what did Paul do in this situation where he has this moment to speak? Well, the longest part of the passage we had read was this speech that he gave to the crowd as they listened. And what we see is that Paul spoke the truth of Jesus, even at the cost of peace. Now, there's three ways. I'm going to rush through Paul's speech, and I want you to see three ways that we see this from Paul in this moment, okay? First of all, Paul spoke the truth of how Jesus had changed his life. This is where he starts. He speaks to the truth of how Jesus changed his life. And he starts in his big, long speech, if you wanted to map this out, with the first probably seven verses. He speaks of how Paul, he says, hey, listen, everybody, one time, don't you remember? I hated the Christians. I'm a Jew. I was more Jewish than you were. I followed the law better than you did. I was raised in Jerusalem. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. So he's telling the crowd this, but he goes, but listen, when I was on the road to Damascus, I was persecuting Christians. I hated the church. I hated Jesus. And I was trying to eradicate that from everywhere. And on the way to the city of Damascus to help do that, Jesus came and met me on the road. And he made himself known to me. Jesus is alive. He says, this Jesus that we crucified in Jerusalem that we 30 years ago, he has risen from the grave. He's alive. And he met me on the road to Damascus and he changed my life. This is the first thing that Paul says to the crowd. Second thing he says is this. He speaks the truth that Jesus changed his life because Jesus is the Lord and Savior of the Jewish people. He says, listen, the reason why Jesus is alive is because he's the one that God sent to our people. He's the one God promised he would send, that would come and would forgive us of our sins, who would come and lead us into his kingdom and give us eternal life with him. Jesus is this one. That's why he's alive. He has come for us. He is the one that God wants us to follow and put our faith in and be baptized into his name. And Paul talks about how he did that because he is the Lord and Savior of the Jewish people. And then he says, the third thing he speaks to the crowd, he says, but not only that, Jesus is also the Lord and Savior of all people. He says, yes, Jesus was sent to us, but also God sent him so that all people everywhere might know him and find life again through him. And this is what set the crowd off. They didn't want to hear that truth. Because after he said this, that's when they said, get rid of him. Basically, kill him. He shouldn't be alive. Through his own story, though, what I want you to see is through his own story, in this moment where he has this opportunity, he speaks. Paul speaks the good news of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, into a situation where it can not only cost his life, it could put the life of the other Christians in the church in Jerusalem in trouble. What I want to think about for a moment is, why would Paul do that? Some of you are like, well, come on, it's his calling, he's an apostle. But really, let's think a little bit deeper. Why would Paul do that? Some of you might know people who are a little bit like this, who talk about Jesus all the time and make it awkward for you when they do. I've been out with people before, and we were ordering food at a restaurant, and all of a sudden, we're like just having a good time, and one person was like, hey, you know, waitress Jane, like, do you know Jesus? And like, oh my gosh, we're just having dinner, right? You know people like that? Or you've seen people like out on the street corner yelling things, and maybe that's not the best way to do it, but they're out there talking about Jesus. That makes it very uncomfortable. One time when I was in campus ministry, I was working with college students a lot. We were on campus, and there was a person that was just having a conversation with another person, and it escalated, and they were talking about Jesus. And this person, one person was for Jesus, one person was against Jesus, and it just got loud, and people came around it. And you're like, I don't know if this is the best way to do this, right? Why would Paul choose to, in this moment, speak the truth of Jesus when there's so much risk and he's risking the peace? Because of this. Because it's more loving to give people Jesus than false peace. It is more loving to give people Jesus than false peace. Love is at the center here. This is about love, and there's two ways I want you to see that. First of all, because Paul loves Jesus. Paul loves Jesus. He knows Jesus. Jesus has changed his life. And now he's in the situation where he has this opportunity to deny Jesus, and there's no way he's going to do that. Why? Because he loves him. I mean, for those of us who are married, if you were in a situation and for some reason you have to like just make fun of your spouse or make your spouse look dumb or say something rude about your spouse or, you know, stand up for your spouse, all of us would know, like, if we love our spouse, we're going to speak the truth of our love for them. We're going to honor them and recognize them, right? Because we love them. Paul is speaking the truth because he loves Jesus, but also because of his love for the crowd. His love for these people. He is speaking the truth because the truth is what? The truth is that we all need Jesus. You and I need Jesus. Our families need Jesus. Our neighbors need Jesus. People at our workplaces need Jesus. Because of the truth of the gospel that Paul is preaching, we know this. That Jesus is the one that God sent to, remember from last week, make peace for us with God. That before Jesus came, all of us, without knowledge of Jesus and faith on him, all of us are far from God, separated from God, estranged from him because of our sin. And we are walking in lostness. We are walking in death. The only way we can be restored to life and life with God forever is through Jesus, through faith on him, because he on the cross took our sin upon him all of what causes estrangement from God upon him, and he bore the punishment over there, as we talked about it with the Heidelberg Catechism. And through our faith on Jesus, through faith in Jesus, we are forgiven of our sin and restored to God. And every single person needs that. Every single person apart from Jesus is lost, has no hope in this world. And their life might be great. They might be doing really well. They might be healthy in every way and enjoying life. But what's the reality? That's a false peace. They need Jesus, and it's more loving to give that person Jesus than a false peace. These Jews in the temple, they might have been having a great time. They thought they were doing the right thing. They were living it up. And Paul says, well, I'm not going to just let you live that way. I got to share the truth of Jesus with you because of love. Go back to the Truman Show, this movie that I mentioned. You remember how Truman actually got out of the world, this fake world, how he actually learned that it was a lie? You remember that? It's because there was one woman that was part of the show that began to develop a real love for Truman and said, this is so bad, I have to help him get out. And she told him the truth about his false world, this false peace. And because of that, he actually made it out and got to the truth. It's more loving to give people Jesus than false peace. So where do we go from here? How do you and I take this reality and think about it for ourselves? Because yes, this is a unique situation that Paul had. This is a moment in time that's descriptive of something Paul lived through that we won't. But there's a principle here. There's something God wants to teach us through this that I think we can apply in our own lives. So here's the third point for us this morning. Third point is this. Pursue peace, but not at the expense of truth. Pursue peace, but not at the expense of truth. So I want to start by saying it's very important to remember the context of this scene here, right? What's going on? Paul did not go into the situation to pick a fight. Paul did not get up in the morning and say, you know what I'm going to do this morning? I'm going to pick a fight with a bunch of Jews at the temple. No, he was in the act of actually, remember, making peace within the church in Jerusalem by going and participating in a purity ritual that was going to kind of make things okay in the Christian church there with the Jews, the Jewish Christians. So that's what he's doing. He's pursuing peace. Even when he speaks to this crowd of hostile Jews, if we kind of read the passage again and listen to the tone, he's being gentle. He's being warm. He's seeking peace, even with how he's talking with them. He's saying, brothers and fathers, it's largely a male audience. So he's saying, we're family here. He's saying, he speaks in Aramaic, which is their heart language. They would have been like, listen, we're of the same people. And so he's trying to make peace even as he speaks this. He's not out there being abrasive and mean and trying to pick a fight. He's pursuing peace. So the call to be a peacemaker has not changed. Okay, that's still the call for us. But there are times where you and I will need to jeopardize peace for the sake of truth. That will be part of our lives as we follow Jesus. Often those moments come to us. This is what I think I've learned in my life. Those moments will most often come to us. I remember, I may have shared this story before, I can't remember, but probably 10 years ago, I was in Los Angeles for a wedding of a daughter of one of my best friends. So one of my best friend's daughters was getting married. And I was out at this wedding, and I was riding through Los Angeles to the actual wedding site with my best friends, one of my really good friends, two brothers. And these guys are older than me. I'm probably 30 at the time, and they're probably in their early 50s. So it's kind of, and they're very successful men, and it's a little intimidating. And we're riding over to the wedding, and this one guy looks over, kind of, he's the passenger. He looked back and said, hey, you know, so you teach the Bible with my brother Jim. I'm curious, you know, when I was in college, I met up with some Christians in a campus ministry kind of thing, and I was kind of interested about this Jesus thing. But then they told me that the way that I wanted to have an intimate life with other men was not really welcome there, or not cool, or that's not what Jesus has for people. And so I'm just curious, like, what do you think about that? How do you think Jesus thinks about that? I was like, oh gosh, okay. And so first of all, I just prayed. I was like, all right. And then we had a long wait. If you've ever driven through Los Angeles, it takes forever to get somewhere. So we had a long time to talk about that. And It's like, here's how I think about this. And we talked it through. And we actually had a great conversation in the car and even after, like throughout the whole wedding. And I told him, listen, I agree with those people you interacted with. I think that God's plan for us is not that. And God does not want you to live that kind of lifestyle. Sometimes those moments come to us. You are going to have times in your life where people are going to ask you things like, wait, or say, like, this is not really a question, but you're not a Christian, are you? Or they'll say things like, hey, you don't believe that all people don't go to heaven, right? Or they'll say, wait a second, you don't believe that everyone just determines their own truth in life? Come on, you believe that, don't you? What are you going to say? Sometimes these moments will come to us. Not sometimes, they will come to us. And the lesson, what we're learning here is that God wants us, yet Jesus is calling us to pursue peace, but not at the expense of truth. It's more loving to give people Jesus than a false peace. You're like, oh, we'll just make this cool. Let me just resolve this. No, it's more loving to give them Jesus, even if it becomes a little bit difficult. Sometimes we may need to start the conversation. I told you this story, I think, this summer, but I'm going to tell it again because I learned it and I thought it was fascinating. So it's about my mom. When my mom was probably 30-ish, so this is a long time ago, I wasn't born yet, she lived in Illinois, and my mom and dad. And my mom had kind of drifted through a Christian upbringing and thought she was a Christian and was okay. She had a really good friend in this place we lived in Illinois, Kankakee, Illinois, who had become a Christian pretty recently, like maybe 2 years before this. And her friend was growing in her understanding of Jesus, and like really God was changing her life a lot. And they were in some kind of conversation about faith, and this friend of my mom said to my mom, you're not a Christian. And my mom said, what are you talking about? She said, no, you don't know Jesus, and you don't know who he is, and you're not actually trusting Jesus. You're not really a Christian. And my mom, she told me, she was furious. She's like, yes, I am. But then she started to get a little nervous about it. And so she started to read her Bible. And she said, I'm going to read through the Bible. She started reading the book of Romans, which is some, if you know the book of Romans, some heavy lifting stuff. And as she started to read the book of Romans, she said, maybe I'm not a Christian. And so she started to talk more with her friend about this. And her friend eventually said, yeah, here's who Jesus is, and here's how you actually trust him, and here's what it means to be a Christian. So my mom became a Christian. Sometimes we'll have opportunities in our lives where there's a call that Jesus has for us to share him with others proactively, even if it costs peace. And I think an encouragement for me when I think about this is to remember it's more loving to do that, and the truth of Jesus is powerful. It's not just empty words. It's how the actual reality of salvation in Jesus Christ is given to someone. It's through hearing the truth, hearing the gospel. For the sake of time, I'm going to share another story just because it's on my mind and it's so good. And I shared it with you last summer, but it's one of my favorite things I've ever heard. So 20 years ago, I was in a church as a young guy, and one of the kind of faculty adjunct pastors or staff was a man named Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel, you maybe know that name. He's written a number of books that are called the Case for Christ or Case for books, and he's a brilliant guy. He was a man who at one time in his life was a just ruthless atheist. He mocked Christianity, he thought Jesus was a joke, and then his wife became a Christian, which he hated, and so he investigated Christianity to try to prove to his wife that she was being a fool by trusting Christ, and through that he became a Christian. And so when he was this new believer in Jesus, probably in his late 20s, early 30s, God started to change his life really dramatically. And Lee was, if you don't know this, Lee Strobel before that was a journalist with a newspaper in Chicago, the Chicago Tribune. And so as he was growing in his faith in Jesus, he had this growing conviction that he needed to share the gospel with his boss, with his editor. And his editor, he knew, was not a Christian. But he felt like, man, I really need to share the gospel with my editor. I don't want to. I'm deathly afraid of this. I'm going to resist it, maybe, but it wouldn't go away. And so for weeks and months, he was thinking about this. And finally said, all right, I have to speak the truth of Jesus. I have to share the gospel with my editor. And so he went into the office, and he's thinking, this could be it. This could be my career. Maybe he's going to fire me. Maybe he's going to smear my name, whatever. He says, Bill, I got to share something with you. And he says, great. And so they talk about it, and Lee shares the gospel with Bill, and his editor looks at him and goes, oh, that's great, Lee. I'm so glad that you found this faith. I'm glad that that Jesus is helping you with your life, but this isn't for me. But, you know, keep up the good work. And that was it. And then Lee left his office, and his boss's office, and he's going, wait, that's it? Yeah, I had like 2 months worth of sleepless nights and prayer over this for that? He's like, okay. So the next day he shows up for work. You know, he's doing his deal in his little cubicle. And a custodial staff member came over to him. We'll call him Ralph. And Ralph is like, Lee, I've got to tell you something. And he's like, okay, what's going on? He's like, you didn't know this, but when you were talking with Bill yesterday, I was over there in the corner, like under a desk. You couldn't see me fixing some IT stuff, some cables and things. And I heard you share with him about Jesus. And my wife and I, we last night, we had this old Bible, and we started looking through it. And we believe that this is true. We heard you. And now we've become Christians. We put our faith in Jesus. And so what do? And he's like, what? Who? He had no idea that was going to happen. But my point, why I'm telling you that, is like the gospel of Jesus Christ has power. When we share it, when we speak it, it's not just like some empty word. We're not just taking a stand for truth. Like, I got to just speak the truth because that's what's right. It's like, no, it has power. It's how God makes his love known to people, how God makes the good news of Jesus known to people through the gospel. And so it truly is more loving to give people Jesus by preaching the gospel than it is to give some false peace for lots of reasons. So, having said all of that, I want to wrap up this way, because I know that for a lot of us we're going, yeah, this is cool, I get this, I think I understand this, I think I'm on board with this, but it's really hard. It's still hard to think about sharing the truth of Jesus with people, whether it's my family, or whether it's a best friend of mine, whether it's at work, whether it's a neighbor, especially when those conversations come to me. I'm like, I don't want to have to deal with those. Or if there's somebody God puts on my heart, I'm like, I really want to share the gospel with that person, but it scares me to death to think about that. It is hard. So how can we do this? How can we speak the truth of Jesus even in risky situations? Well, first of all, like I said last week, we pray. We pray. We need God to give us the strength to do that. And he's promised he will give us strength to do that. Prayer is one way that we rely on God and his strength in those ways. The other way is, like I said last week too, remember Jesus. We keep our eyes fixed on him. There's a reason why in Scripture we're given that directive over and over again. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Because remember, it's Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker, but he's also the ultimate truth teller. Because Jesus is the truth. And he came full of grace and truth. And in his life, he spoke the truth time and time again out of love. And even as he did, it cost him his own life. And Jesus willingly gave that life up so that people through him and through knowing him, through the truth of him, might find eternal life. So, always, church, we speak the truth of Jesus, because it's more loving to give people him, to give people Jesus, than a false peace. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this truth. Lord, we thank you that you didn't leave us in a lie, confused, lost, but that you came to us, that you sent your Son into this world in order to bring us into true life, to die on the cross for us, Jesus. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from our sin. Thank you for rising from the grave in order to bring us into a new and everlasting life in you. We pray that you would help us to believe more deeply the truth of the gospel, and to, out of love for you and others, be people who speak the truth of the gospel, even if it costs peace. Lord, we want to know you. We want others to know you. So please, Lord, help us in all these ways. And Lord, work in and through our lives that more and more people may know the grace and love and hope that is in Jesus. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen.